This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's go! Happy Friday, North America. It's a summer weekend. It's the DA show. It's Mraz. It's Bogish. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. DA joining us at the top of the last hour to talk about the Dan Snyder fallout. He is off on a three-day weekend, so the keys go to me and Bogish here to steer the mothership into a landing as we head towards the weekend. Don't forget, it's a Target Demo Friday, facebook.com/the DA show, where you will find Kirk Cousins on a rooster's body because he's the ultimate egg layer. And you will find a picture of an English baby model in England who looks exactly like our very own Pete the Body Bilotti. Leave your thoughts, what you're doing, how you're listening. Does that baby look like Pete? All there on Facebook, plus on Twitter, at MrazCBS, at Andrew Bogish. Joining us now, NFL columnist Bleacher Report does an excellent job there. A guy who's been a friend of the DA show for a long time, and there's plenty to get into, whether it's Dan Snyder, whether it's Dak Prescott, or whatever else is going on with the NFL as we steamroll, we hope, towards a training camp, is the great Tyler Dunn, who you can follow on Twitter, at Ty Dunn. Ty, good morning. It's Mraz. It's Bogish. How you doing?
Good morning. Pleasure to be here, man. Thanks so much for having me back.
For sure, for sure. So before we get into the rest of the NFL, obviously the story of the morning is the disaster, the disgusting culture that is going on in Washington with Dan Snyder. I mean, we don't have to reiterate the actual report here. We've talked about it all show. I just want to get your honest opinion because it's something that Bogish and I have been debating all morning. In the end, the fallout that comes from this, will Dan Snyder be removed as the Washington football owner?
I think there's a good chance, and I wouldn't have said that just, I mean, a few weeks ago. It might have been talking with some folks there when I was asked if, you know, if the Redskins' name would ever change. And back then, I didn't think so. It seemed like every time it came up, no matter what, Dan Snyder would just double, triple, quadruple down, and the name wouldn't change. And, well, the name's changing, and these are different times, and this story is, whew, man, it's about as disgusting as it gets. I mean, that is institutional. It's, you know, in the fabric of the franchise itself. You get the sense that it only really scratches the surface too. I wouldn't be surprised if public pressure, corporate pressure, league pressure did kind of force Dan Snyder's hand, and it was almost like a Donald Sterling situation. I don't know. That's a gut feeling more than anything. But I'm not going to rule anything out. And just a few weeks ago, that would seem crazy to say because it just seemed like Dan Snyder and his Washington football team just kind of plowed through every controversy. This is something I don't think they can just kind of brush aside. And the league itself is already weighed in.
Which was my question, Todd. That's new this morning, the NFL statement, which says in part that they are going to let the lawyer who Dan Snyder hired let that investigation play out and then react to that, which has ruffled some feathers on Twitter this morning with people pointing out that the NFL itself hired people to investigate Deflategate and Bountygate. So people are wondering now if this will be a legitimate investigation, and then why would the NFL just accept those findings, not getting findings for its own? Do you have any issue with the way the league for now says it's going to handle this?
Always. I mean, these investigations that the league have their fingerprints all over tend to be maybe not as pure as they should be. I mean, even thinking back to the Wells report and all of that, I mean, it's just when the league is involved, the league is probably going to find out what the league wants. And I don't know the details exactly of how this is going to go down. I would hope that they're going to take it as serious as they should in this case, because this is awful. I'll add this too, like just being a reporter who's covered the combine and being in there in Indianapolis, I want to say since 2011, those scenes at Prime 47 and some of the bars there where you have all these coaches, all these scouts, and you have a lot of reporters at these places, you know, men and women, and it's good in that it can be kind of a laid-back environment where you're getting to maybe know a coach or a scout, and they kind of see you beyond just a name in a newspaper or a name on a website. But I'm a man. I mean, I can't relate to what a female reporter goes through in that setting, but just seeing things from afar, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure there's a lot of other teams and a lot of other scouts and personnel people that read that story and said, oh, crap. I'm not necessarily sure if it's just like the Washington football team that has this kind of a problem. I mean, there's like football is always a cross section of America, right? I mean, there's scumbags everywhere, and the NFL is no different. I'm sure that there's other people right now kind of shaking in their boots reading that and thinking, man, you know, there could be more that comes to light over years.
Yeah, and from that point, I think some big NFL news yesterday or last night kind of got swept a little bit unnoticed because the world was talking about this Dan Snyder story, and that is the Chiefs have sent a memo to their players, training camp on time, and according to the CBA, they have the right to do that. Then J.J. Watt takes to Twitter with bullet points, starting with players want to play and ending with players want to play, but all these things that still have to be figured out for the players to want to and to attend camp with all the health and safety protocols here. Are we maybe being naive as NFL fans and expecting the show to roll on that we don't understand this, the potential for a fight similar to the one we saw in Major League Baseball between the players' union and the players? Like, is training camp going to be delayed that much that we should be worried about the regular season being delayed if football can't figure out their health guidelines and get the players comfortable and on board here?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, these meetings, they just sound disastrous. I mean, every time that the union and the league meets, you know, whether it's an agent, a player, I've just gotten some text here and there, and you don't even need the text. I mean, you can see it on Twitter. It's like the meeting gets over, and people go on Twitter just say how terribly they went. It's unfortunate. I mean, we're getting closer and closer. These teams are scheduled, you know, to start camp up. And I don't think it's time to panic quite yet. The fact that, you know, the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, all these other professional sports leagues are, I mean, they're going to be rolling games out here soon. And I think the NFL is going to be watching that very, very closely. Now, granted, the NFL is just different sport. The physical contact that goes into this sport, it's unlike anything else. And I guess, you know, putting a face guard with holes in it, I mean, is that really going to help you? I don't know. I'm not privy to that science, but it seems like the league is trying to make it seem like they're doing everything in their power to watch out for player safety and player health when nobody knows. I mean, there's nobody knows. I don't even think Dr. Fauci could really tell you, like, you know, that the game of football, how does this virus kind of transmit person to person when you've got guys that are bloody and sweaty and smashing into each other? I mean, there's nothing like it. And, yeah, I mean, the other sports to give you a sense for what to expect and with outbreaks and how to deal with those outbreaks. And, you know, maybe you quarantine a player for a few days and then they get better and they come back. But football is different. And I really feel like the league's only going to know how to deal with this once they get into the season and they're dealing with it. So I think everybody's just kind of, you know, holding their breath at this point, rightfully so.
Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report with us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, I mean, along those same lines, and you just said it, and it's true. I mean, just nobody knows how to deal with this, how to plan for it. So it makes some sense that they have not, the league and the union, or the league and the Players Association, agreed on so many significant things. But on the other hand, they've also had more time than any other league to get things in line here. And yet here we are basically at the doorstep of training camp, and they seem so far apart. So how are we at least not farther along a path to an agreement to getting everybody safely into training camp and then onto the field?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's a great question. It's like one of those things, why didn't everybody just figure this all out weeks, months ago? I mean, it was, the first, second week of March when it got serious with coronavirus? I mean, you could have been starting discussions way back then on how you're going to deal with this, and they haven't. I guess part of it, too, just falls in line with what you always see in the NFL, with deadlines spurring action, as Andrew Brandt likes to say. You know, as you get kind of closer and closer and urgency rises, maybe this is just kind of like everything else where, all right, now it's really time to figure something out. The thing is, we're not talking about, you know, a contract negotiation. You're talking about player safety in the midst of a pandemic. So it's unfortunate, but I guess not too surprising.
On the field, but I guess still off the field, the big news this week out of Dallas was Dak Prescott having to go down to the wire and keeping this franchise deal, betting on himself, the team kind of, I would say disrespecting him. Maybe that's the wrong word. Maybe he doesn't feel disrespect. But ultimately, look, the Cowboys now are going to go on 2 years of giving Zeke this deal while leaving their quarterback kind of high and dry, not being able to figure this out. And if any reports were true about the $32 to $35 million a year, it's not like he was trying to now top Patrick Mahomes' deal last second. Do you think there's a chance in the next 2 years Dak Prescott is playing quarterback somewhere else other than Dallas?
Could be. I mean, it sounds like he's ticked off, and rightfully so. I mean, gosh, his brother's letting everybody know what he feels, and you gotta wonder what Dak is feeling right now. He's been the biggest bargain in the entire league, maybe all of sports, the last 4 years when he's made about a million a year, whatever it is. It's just been laughably bad, and I'm sure the Dallas Cowboys feel they've given him offers that they feel he should take, but if you're Dak Prescott and you're seeing all these other contracts, all these other quarterbacks are getting, and you're the one who threw for 4,900 yards, 30 touchdowns, only 11 picks, career passer rating, I think, of what, like 97, 98. I mean, he's proven that it works. It wasn't a fluke his rookie year when they went 13-3 and they took over for Tony Romo. He's established. He fits everything you could ever want in a quarterback. He's mobile. They've got weapons all around him. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, teams are kind of lost in the quarterback wilderness that would just die to throw money at Dak Prescott. And, you know, I think we get caught up in the salary cap, but how do you make the numbers work? They gave this money to Zeke. They gave this money to Amari Cooper. I've had more people tell me this offseason than any other that you can't look at the salary cap, that it's all just a joke, that at the end of the day, you know, you can move money around. You can, you know, kick money down the road. You can restructure things. And it's more about just straight up cash that a team is willing to give a player more than trying to make something work under the salary cap. And I think you see examples of that. The Chiefs, they somehow made everything work. The Rams, a couple years back, it seemed like they were signing somebody every other day. So I feel like if the Cowboys really wanted to, and if they really value Dak Prescott, we wouldn't be sitting here in, you know, late July, 4 years into his career, wondering why he doesn't have a long-term contract extension. It just kind of boggles the mind, really.
Tyler Dunn, you can follow him on Twitter, at Ty Dunn. Ty, one more for me. Your wife, heck of an Instagram, eating all over Buffalo. We have plenty of listeners. We're on all over Buffalo. I need to know. Forget the obvious, you know, where you get your wings in Buffalo. What's the best thing you've eaten in Buffalo recently?
Oh, my God. Well, I appreciate that plug. Tuna's going to love that. Yes, _ Buffalo is where you got to find everything you need to know about food in Western New York. I don't know where you start. I think, you know what we got to give a shout-out to is Tempo, downtown, best ribeye you'd ever eat anywhere in the country. It's just a monster, the seasoning, the juices, medium rare, takes up your whole plate, the best, whatever it is, $70, $80 you could ever spend in your life. Tempo Restaurant, downtown Buffalo, Delaware. If you're within a five-hour vicinity of Buffalo, New York. Please, 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 please go. It's the best.
All right, I got to sneak one in here too, real quick, because Ty was spent some time in Milwaukee around the Packers, so maybe he can break this tie for us. Ty, we've been trying to figure out who's to blame for Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick being no more. Sean really wants to blame Rodgers because personally Aaron was once mean to him. If you had to guess, though, who would you point at as the reason why they're no longer together?
Oh, yeah. You know, I probably should just not say a word on this subject, right? he might go, you know, sit down with his pal in Milwaukee radio and talk about some writer that's trying to advance his career. I'll just leave that to the people who know how celebrity relationships work. And I'll just stick to football. If you want to talk about, you know, his teammates and the chemistry there, and you know how he may be perceived by folks, we can go that route. But I'm just gonna sit this one out. Let's do that.
We'll go back to steaks in Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about ribeyes in Buffalo if you want. Yeah, that works perfect.
All right, so you can follow Tyler Dunn on Twitter. Does a great job there covering the NFL at Ty Dunn. And if you are in the Buffalo area, this is very important. You're starving. You listen to this show. You love food. We talk food all the time. We're on, obviously, in Buffalo. Courtney, the first lady of Trash Tuesday, tweeting us all the time from Western New York. That's right. Tyler Dunn's wife. We'll give her the plug. At @feedme_Buffalo with all great food picks. I'm salivating checking them out on Instagram. Check it all out there. Ty, thanks so much. You've been too kind. Have a great weekend, man.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that plug. She appreciates it. We appreciate it. And anytime, man. Great to be on.
Take care, Ty. Tyler Dunn.
Thanks,
from
Ty.
Bleacher Report. Boy,
also a better beard than the both of us.
Yeah, no question. Well, he was working on that long before quarantine. And you tried to get him there to answer that Rodgers question. He's been in too much hot water with the Packers.
Well, he answered the question because his answer was going to be Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't want to say it out loud because he didn't want Aaron, as he said, to have one of his little petty media attacks. So he answered it without answering it. If the answer was Danica, he would have said Danica. But the answer was Aaron, so he had to bow out.
So I continue to win, and we're going to have to play that Danica audio again on the DA show on Monday. All right, we got one more Brad Heller update to get to, plus we're going to go down to D.C. Craig Hoffman covers Washington football down there. We'll get a little bit of the reaction from what's going on in that city and what the future holds for that franchise and Dan Snyder. It's the DA show with Mraz and Bogish on CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Hey, good morning, D.A. Love your takes. Kind of a recent listener to your program, and I love it. You're awesome.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Mraz and Bogish on this Target Demo Friday. That's right. Next segment, we will be reading your Target Demo. So get on Facebook.com/the DA show. Our Target Demo meme is there. At Twitter, @MrazCBS, and @AndrewBogish. Great job by Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report at the top of the hour. We have Craig Hoffman coming up in just a matter of moments from 106.7 The Fan in D.C. But for one final time, it's Brad Heller with your morning update. Brad, good morning.
All right, Mraz, good morning. The NFL statement this morning after the Washington Post story that reveals sexual harassment allegations made by 15 women that worked for the Washington franchise. The NFL saying these matters, as reported, are serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values. Everyone in the NFL has the right to work in an environment free from any and all forms of harassment. Owner Daniel Snyder has hired a law firm to conduct an investigation. The league says it will meet with the attorneys afterwards and take any action based on the findings. Believe it or not, NFL training camps are supposed to open tomorrow for Chiefs and Texans rookies, but there's still no agreement yet for COVID-19 testing protocols. J.J. Watt tweeted yesterday that that's one of the many unanswered questions for the players, but he reiterated they still want to play. There also seems to be a question about where the Nationals are going to play their home games once the season starts. They're supposed to open next Thursday against the Yankees at Nats Park, but are now reportedly looking at some alternate sites because of the strict virus protocols in the District of Columbia. Anyone exposed has to quarantine for 14 days. The Washington Post says Fredericksburg, Virginia, and the Nats spring training home in West Palm Beach are both under consideration. And the Dodgers are in a similar situation with the virus protocols in Los Angeles. The LA Times says the team has talked to the local health department about getting an exemption, but hasn't gotten one yet. From the NBA, Bucks guard Eric Bledsoe telling ESPN he has tested positive for the virus. He has not traveled to Disney World yet for the bubble. Zion Williamson has left the bubble. An urgent family medical matter. The Pelicans say he will rejoin the team at some point. He'd have to quarantine when he returns for at least 4 days. Golf round two underway at the Memorial. Gary Woodland has the lead at 6 under par. Tiger Woods has an early birdie. He's now at -2, 4 shots back. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Brad. Brad doing a good job all morning long. I guess Brad might be with us Monday and Tuesday. I should probably look at Pete's schedule with Bogish being out.
That is correct.
So we get a little more stunned to a news. So basically, Bogish is dodging doing a stunned to a news until next Wednesday is what he's telling me.
So, I mean, yeah, that seems fair. And then Wednesday, I'm playing the role of Brad Heller as well. So we kind of flip the script a little bit I have extra Brad work on Wednesday. I'll still make time for a stun to a news, I believe, at that point. But maybe because Connor did so well, everything else. Maybe we'll pull Connor back in for reading stun. Because yesterday's problem was we had major technical issues back in studio, which kind of prevented me from being on the air live. And stun to a news needs to be done live. So sure. It was suggested that I record it, but I can't record it because I need to. You guys need to react to me, and I need to react to you. So that's how we got on to let Connor do it. And, of course, because it's Connor, it worked out well yesterday. Good story today from Brad, which, by the way, I sent to him. And we'll see what happens on Monday and Tuesday.
All right, there you go. There's Bogish looking for a pat on the back, and somebody who doesn't deserve any pats on the back, well, actually does deserve plenty of pats on the back. That was a stupid segue. But it's Craig Hoffman from 106.7 The Fan in D.C., our buddy here on the DA show. You can follow him on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman, and it has been an eventful, let's say 48 hours with the build-up, maybe 72 hours, the build-up to the Dan Snyder story, the story coming out, and now the reaction. Craig, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Hope all is well, man.
Yeah, but this is a serious story, so I will simply say first before we get serious, what the hell, Mraz?
I'm sorry, dude, I'm sorry. I'm tripping. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I just started pouring. I'm doing the show from my basement. I'm hoping my basement doesn't flood. I'm just looking to have a good weekend here, and I tripped over a dumb segue.
Let's be honest. We're just all happy you're wearing a shirt, and we can move on.
It's the first time I'm wearing a shirt with buttons on the DA show since pandemic started, Craig. So you should just know that. That's where we're at. And I didn't even dress nice in pants. I'm wearing raggedy gym shorts as well. So that's the kind of way I'm presenting myself this morning. That being said, Craig, obviously, just a disgusting culture problem in Washington that the Washington Post, bravo for having the story come out. And in many ways, I think, oddly enough, the Washington Post had to almost live up to like hype and expectations because of the momentum that was building behind this story. And they do deliver in that it's gross what's gone on in Washington for years and years and years. And to know that guys involved in Dan Snyder's inner circle were involved in all of this. So let me just say, you know, right off the bat, something we started with Tyler Dunn for. And before we get into maybe the meat and potatoes of this, do you think the fallout of this will result in Dan Snyder being forced to sell the Washington football franchise?
I don't, but I don't think it's 100%. I just think that it's going to be tough without Dan being directly implicated like Jerry Richardson was for the NFL to go like, yeah, you have to sell because of this. I think they should. I think it's right. I think that, you know, incompetence and lack of accountability is Daniel Snyder's brand, and that has now reached a point where it's obvious this is a liability for the league. Like, his lack of accountability is what leads to this. That is the entirety of who Daniel Snyder is, and that's not acceptable. When you're running a multi-billion-dollar organization with this many employees and this much on the line. So I think there's an argument to be made, obviously, but unless it's exactly like Richardson, where he's directly implicated, unless there's more coming out, I don't think it's a slam dunk. And that's why I think some people are like upset, quote unquote, that this is not enough. But they wish there were more and it didn't live up to the hype. But like that, you know, if you were caught up in the hype of internet rumors, that's on you. At the end of the day, this is an extremely serious story with extremely serious allegations. And, you know, we'll see exactly how it plays out. I think the NFL does have an argument, and I think the moment we're in matters as well. The power has shifted, but I don't think this is. I wouldn't even say likely at this point that this ends with him being out.
Craig, Sean and I were too wondering, like, if there's like almost a fear factor involved here for the other owners and the league, because both of us assumed that Snyder would not go down without a fight if they tried to push him out, and that fight might include him telling everybody else's dirty secret. So to avoid that, would they not actually go this far in punishing him? Is that us kind of overthinking Dan Snyder here and giving him too much credit for possible evil whatever, or is that maybe in play in this as well in your mind?
No, that's exactly a point that I've made in all of this as well. So either the three of us are wrong together or it's true, and I tend to think it's the latter. And history tells us this, right? You have rich, extremely rich men, and most of them extremely rich white men who have immense amounts of power and have had that in many cases for decades. A lot of these owners have been around for a long time. Like, you know, we saw the pictures come out with Jerry Jones a couple of years ago. He says they were misrepresented. But, like, I worked in Dallas as well. There's all kinds of rumors of crazy things. They're more told, like, tall tales, and they seem to be more salacious than sinister in the ways that a lot of things that happened here were sinister. And I think that's another really important thing to remember. For as much as the salaciousness of this story impacts people and catches people's attention, this is not about sex. This story is not about that or sexual whatever. It's about power. And if, when you understand that, that can separate some of the salaciousness from the real heart of why people were so scared to tell these stories for so long and why these problems perpetuate over time. And so, you know, are there other owners out there that have secrets like this? Probably. The question is, how salacious are they versus how sinister are they? How criminal are they in terms of the power dynamics that were at play here and the owners allowing things within the workplace especially to happen? So if other owners don't have those kinds of things, which I think there probably are some franchises that operate this way, you talk to any woman that works in sports and they've experienced things somewhere on the spectrum of what was reported yesterday, and yeah, they're going to be scared to push them out themselves. It's going to take the league stepping up in a major way and kind of saying, like, no, we're doing this. But I do think the protective nature of that tight ownership group of similar people is something that is going to be an impediment to removing Snyder in a way that's, again, continuing the problem, because it is about the power and they have all the power.
Craig Hoffman joining us, 106.7 The Fan down in D.C. You can follow him on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman. You know, Craig, as the morning's gone on, I personally have been more and more, I guess disgusted is fine of a word, with the NFL's handling here. First of all, the fact that, unlike what happened with Deflategate, unlike what happened in Carolina, they're just allowing Dan Snyder's own movement of hiring his own lawyers to go in and investigate the culture to react to that investigation instead of just taking this head on and going with their own investigation with their own lawyers or whatnot. And then, you know, I follow your Twitter and I'm reading through, and you see that you personally have heard rumors, though nobody would come forward, so it was not something that you had any right to or would report on anyway. So by all means, I think you did the right thing. But if you've heard rumors of this, my guess is a lot of people in Washington have heard rumors of this for years, which leads me to believe that people in the NFL had to have heard rumors of this throughout the year. How could this be the worst-kept secret in the NFL? And they have completely, then, in my mind, had to have turned a blind eye to this. I find it very hard to believe they only found out about this when rumors of the Washington Post article started 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, because it's not just rumors that I've known. I mean, some of the explicit stories told in this piece I have known for a long time. And, again, as you said, like, it's a really terrible. I mean, look, it's less terrible for me than it is for the victims. I don't want to confuse the two at all. But it's a bad spot to be in as a reporter, because you want to help. You want to expose the truth, and you want to be an ally for these women that you share a workplace. You know, if you're a beat reporter, your actual physical workplace is not your radio station, your newspaper office, your television station. It is the park, the facility that you work at. You work out of a media workroom basically at that place every day. And so in that way, you kind of share a workspace. You see these people all the time. You develop friendships with some of them. Like, you want to help on a human level, but at the end of the day, it's their story to tell. And the reason so many people didn't want to tell the story on the record and potentially you know, get fired, feel like they might not have a career in sports anymore. They didn't want to risk it, was because they were terrified that the team was going to sue them. Because Snyder is so litigious. He sued fans. He sued anybody. He'd sue his own mother. Maybe not actually, but maybe. Like, that's who the guy is. And that's who the people working for him were. And so when they sign these NDAs, when they work, or especially when they leave, saying, I'll never talk about anything I saw here, like, they were terrified to break that. And so, you know, as the story talks about, there were women within the organization that said, like, hey, look out for this person. Don't stand at this place. I've had those types of conversations with people when you know, they hire new media interns and you get to know them because you work with them. You're like, hey, by the way, watch out for that guy. He's kind of creepy. Like, you have those conversations on a human level. But, I, you know, all that said, to go back to your original question of, like, the NFL's handling of this, yeah, they had to know, and they could have protected those people. They could have said, like, yeah, if they come after you, like, we're going to step up and we'll defend you, or we'll, you know, make sure that he doesn't sue because we'll throw him out of the league. Like, there are things that I don't know exactly what could have been done. You know, I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but I tend to believe that with the power the NFL has and the money the NFL has, they could have offered protection to these people to come forward, not to a reporter, but to them, and then done something about it. And that is absolutely, to me, fair criticism and a great point that, you know, yes, the league office is in New York and the franchises operate pretty much on their own. But this was so well known, you know, there's just no way that people didn't know back in the league office.
Craig, I'm having a hard time, like, kind of understanding Ron Rivera's place in all of this moving forward. Like, are we really to believe that he signed up for this as, like, some kind of knight in shining armor to come through and fix everything? I don't get it, partly because I don't understand why he signed up to work for Dan Snyder in the first place. So I just, and the statement last night that Ron Rivera put out was kind of lacking. I just don't know what to do with Ron and the position he's placed himself in now in this dynamic in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, my early impressions of Ron, I mean, one, I'm from the Carolinas, so, like, I followed him from afar for years before he obviously got to Washington in January. And, you know, I everything I was ever told about the man has been true with my interactions with him. And I know some people that covered him in Charlotte, and they just speak so highly of the character of him. And so I think he does probably look at himself and go, okay, they need to fix a culture. That's what I do. I establish culture. That's the Ron Rivera way. And he's right about that. You know, for all the complaints about what went wrong in Carolina, it was never the culture. It was never that they had issues down there. And when they did, they dealt with them in a professional manner in the way that you'd hope to, that certain behavior just wasn't acceptable. And if you did those things, you were gone. And that goes on the business side and the football side. So what Rivera is in Washington is not just an NFL head coach. He's a team president as well, even though he doesn't have the title. They never replaced Bruce Allen on that side. And is that crazy? Yeah, it kind of is crazy, because it's just too much responsibility for one person, no matter how good of a person Ron Rivera is. Like, he doesn't have he's been in the NFL for 30 years after a career as a player. And he's just been a coach and a player for 30, you know, for almost 40 years. He doesn't have a business skill set. That's not what he does. And so to put that on him is not fair to me. Even if as a moral compass, he is capable of being that. So when it comes down to all of this, I think it's bizarre and extremely ironic that he's in this situation again, after having dealt with it with Jerry Richardson in Carolina, where he was forced to sell. So I don't really know where to land the plane with that answer, Andrew. It's a great question, and I guess the answer is I don't know either. He's definitely going to be the moral compass. He's the one day-to-day dealing with this. From what I understand, Snyder's on his yacht somewhere in Europe, so he's literally the one on the crown dealing with this right now in Ashburn. But I don't know over the long term how this plays and who it funnels through, and how much of whatever response comes funnels through Snyder and some small circle around him, or if the next layer in the armor is Rivera and how he handles that, especially if it's in season and he's trying to be an NFL head coach, which is an all-consuming job in terms of time anyway.
Craig Hoffman covers all things D.C. sports, including Washington football, down in D.C. for 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Go follow him on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman. Craig, thanks so much for waking up with us. Enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely, guys.
Craig Hoffman joining us. Yes, down in D.C. Craig does a great job down there. Gave some insightful answers, and still you can see it's almost like you're picking up the pieces down in D.C. right now. Nobody really knows what's next. I can't believe Dan Snyder's on a yacht somewhere outside of Europe right now, too, which is just unbelievable during a pandemic. That is something.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I think that's why he's there. I think he basically, if I remember reading this around the name change news, is he bailed on the U.S. basically during all of this. He first went to, like, the Bahamas where he has a house, and now he's on a boat in Europe, assuming, I get, you know, listen, it's not the worst strategy if you have the ability to do it, right, is to go to a place that's a little bit safer these days. So I think that's, I don't think he's hiding from this heat. I think he's hiding from COVID-19.
Yeah. First smart thing Dan Snyder's done in about 20 years. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that? Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We're going to get to your target demo Friday in just a second. But first, it's time to answer, Bogish, our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is, Mraz, do you know why a kangaroo has a pouch? Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. By the way, that is from Dan in Pennsylvania. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Yes, it seems like every time Bogish and I fill in for DA, animal stories and animal questions surface. Today's obviously stunned to a news from Brad Heller was a kangaroo on the loose in Florida. It ended up being very friendly, and it led me to many questions about how a kangaroo could end up in Florida. So to answer your question, Dan in Pennsylvania, I believe a kangaroo has a pouch to, what's the proper word, to keep their babies safe after they have babies.
So you're okay, not wrong, but here's the crazy thing that I only learned recently. Like, the pouch is for, you can see the picture of, like, the little baby kangaroo.
Right.
I think koalas have them too, right? That there's, like, peeking out of the pouch looking at the world. What I didn't realize, though, is that kangaroos, and again, I believe koalas too, the baby is only inside the mom for like a couple of weeks, if not a couple of months, and then it's tiny, like a grain of rice, like tiny, tiny, tiny.
Wow.
It somehow crawls its way up the mom into the pouch and then does the real growing and maturing inside the pouch for sometimes more than a year.
Wow.
So like the pouch is not just like for safety and for carrying. It's like the main baby cooking part of the kangaroo and
wow,
the koala experience. Yeah, it's nuts.
That blows my mind. A grain of
right?
rice kangaroo, Bogish. A grain of
yeah.
rice. No wonder they could get smuggled into Florida. It's incredible. All right. When we come back, how you listening? What are you doing this weekend? Have you seen the picture that looks like Pete, that looks like a baby in England, an English baby model? We got it all. We're closing out the show with a bang this week. It's Target Demo Friday. It's your epic fail. It's next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target Demo are up to.
Dalton tweets in, Mraz is so stupid, it's bleeping hilarious. No knowing roosters don't lay eggs. That Kirk Cousins take literally had me bleeping LOLing. Thank you, Dalton. Kirk Cousins is the ultimate egg layer. He might as well be nicknamed the Rooster.
Doug is checking in from Michigan. He's sitting on his back porch listening to the show, waiting for his sister to show up, coming in from New Hampshire. We're already planning on princess steaks and baked potatoes for dinner. Why have good burgers when you can have steak that cuts with one pass of the knife? You gotta eat like this. But I've got to ask, I don't know what a princess steak is. Sean?
I don't either, but now I know what I'm researching this weekend. It's what
good
the heck's
burger?
A princess steak? Mariana tweets in, I got on Twitter just to see this post, this picture of Pete looking, or a baby in England looking like Pete. I am not disappointed. 100% British baby is the body.
But I was a baby.
Darrell's listening on radio.com in Moran, Kansas, working on landfill equipment before my son's ball game tonight. By the way, Mraz may have had a rough week, but still less of a buffoon than James Dolan.
And I got an oopsie.
That's a fair... Well, when we add that in, maybe not.
Mr. Fahrenheit tweets in, can we get Pete into this baby outfit? Maybe we could get it off Amazon Wardrobe or something. Add Pete the body. I hope you've been saving money for child support for Lil Body in England. Pete is the dad of the baby in England.
But I was a baby.
I'm not sure of the laws in England, but can a successful model baby pay like reverse, like pay parental support?
Oh, they better.
To his den on his luck dad in America? could Pete
that,
sue this
yes,
baby
yes,
for a monthly stipend?
That baby's going to buy the Mets. Yes.
Hey, DA, it's Jason in San Diego. Just want to say a big thank you to you guys for being there for all of us during the pandemic. I can't tell you how much joy this show brings on a daily basis. Looking forward to listening to today's episode in podcast form while sipping a margarita in the sunshine later. Have a great weekend, everyone. Jason, thanks for the great note. And San Diego, if I could move there now, I would. It's my second favorite city in the world, so I'm very jealous that Jason's listening from San Diego.
It's Friday! I do have to say, Jason listening in podcast form might be a little disappointed because he addressed it as Hey DA to find out it's you and I sitting here.
Yeah, that's true. he wrote it 4 minutes ago, so I mean, and the post is about us filling in, so I think he should know what's going on. Maybe not.
Maybe. And that's your target demo Friday. All right. Look, if you haven't seen it on Twitter or Facebook right now, you are missing what I think is the greatest picture of 2020, and that is a baby that's a model. A baby model in the UK and in England looks exactly like Pete the Body Bellotti. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
There is a model in England, a model that looks exactly like Pete the Body Bellotti.
What?
The problem, Bogish, with the picture of the model, and this is a famous English model, is that it's a model that's a baby.
But I was a baby.
It's a baby model. And there it is on watchda.com right now. The famous English baby model, which I think, Bogish, I had to bring to the show's attention today. Does it not look exactly like Pete the Body Bellotti if he was an English baby model?
Baby. What? Baby. Duh.
So on watchda.com right now, we have a split screen of the baby and of Pete sitting there in his beautiful Mets windbreaker. Bogus, your thoughts on whether this looks like Pete or not.
What?
I mean, it's startling how much it looks like Pete. And I have at my work computer, which I'm not at the moment. Oh, Pete just saw it.
But I was a baby. Baby. Duh.
I mean, Pete, have you gone on trips pre-Bridget out to England and maybe had a little more fun?
Have not.
That would like to give credit for
England. I have not touched England at all.
No, you haven't gone across the pond?
Nope.
I mean, like, if you were to tell me, like, this baby walked up to me, I'd be like, "Who is your father?"
I know
this
your dad.
This has to be Pete. If that kid was wearing khaki pants and a Pete Alonso jersey, I mean, if that was what he was modeling.
The Grom jersey.
Eating some oatmeal? It would look exactly like Pete.
I just don't like him.
So I thought we would get pushback from Pete, and probably only because this baby's a model that Pete's agreeing with. Pete agrees. It does look like him.
Baby probably has more money than me. Duh.
We've now entered the part of the show where Pete's mad at a baby for its success.
You know what? Why'd you show me this picture? I just don't like him.
So now we have, basically, I think the new mascot of the DA show has to be the Bellotti baby.
But I was a baby. Duh.
Epic fail, you loser. Oh.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bogus, just a quick recap. The obviously tragic and sudden passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter in a helicopter crash. Terrible wildfires in Australia. A global pandemic that has shut down the world. Truly, social justice issues and protests around the world, murder hornets, kangaroos escape from Florida, and now, only now, when we get a baby model in England that looks like Pete, am I officially throwing my hands up and go, 2020, you got us. Baby model
wins.
In England that is Pete's twin, and Pete claims to have not been overseas. Pete, has your dad been across the pond the last couple of years? Do we know what's going on over in England?
No way. It's here in Pennsylvania. That's it.
What a fun week. Bogish, enjoy your couple days off to start next week. It was a pleasure again hosting with you, pal. Enjoy that. Yes, enjoy the seltzers, enjoy the smoker, enjoy everything that comes with this weekend. Pete the Body Bellotti, great job by you. Connor Green producing, awesome job. Brad Heller on your updates. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. It is Mraz. This was the DA Show. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.